Let's get into the Word this morning. We've got a few minutes to talk. As a follow-up to Kids Camp, I wasn't sure how many guests we'd have today. And I wanted to talk a very simple message that is simple to understand if you don't know God yet. But I think it's also very motivating and reassuring for those of us that have been walking with the Lord to remember back to the basics. We always need to go back to recall what it is that we started with and to sometimes renew those things. Let me ask you a few questions before I start. If I promised you that I could introduce you to Warren Buffett, because he really wants to know you and he wants to, for the rest of your life, counsel you on how to invest your finances, how many would buy into that? Are you serious right now? Like about 10 of you? Warren Buffett here, guys, multi-billionaire. He can be by... Okay, let me change it around a little bit. How many of you, maybe you're business people, if the Walton family of Walmart fame wanted to know you, they wanted to be in your life for the rest of your life for free, and they would teach you how to run a good business? How many would buy into that? Oh, man, we have underachievers in this body right now. Okay, golfers, if Tiger Woods wanted to know you... And he would spend the rest of his life teaching you golf. Would you buy into that? Okay, the golfers raise their hand. Okay, basketball players, Steph Curry for the rest of your life. Okay. I'm understanding a little bit of the issue we're having. If I promised you that I could introduce you to the creator of the universe, the God who knows everything, who's been everywhere, who is eternal, that God wants to know you, would you buy into that? Okay, so we like God more than we like basketball or money. That's making sense to me. Well, some people, they get that, and I say that, and they go, eh. To me, I just don't understand that response. If there is a God, and if He is knowable, doesn't it make sense that we want to know Him? Unless for some reason there's something in us that makes us so petrified or so ashamed or so something that we'd want to hide from Him. Even if we know that He's a gracious, kind, loving, forgiving God, that there's something inside of us that says, I'll take a pass on that one. Some of us see God as an inference. So kind of like, well, I can kind of see that there probably is a God, and so therefore I believe in Him. Without really any connection on a relational level. Some people see godness as kind of like an ideal. Like He's beauty, or He's kindness, or He's love. And there really isn't a humanity, or not maybe humanity, but a personalness about God. Others see God as a religious type of thing, that He's tied to the Bible or church or Bible verses or songs, and therefore that it's a religious idea. And not a lot of people, the Bible even says narrow is the way, that there's few people who really come to an understanding that God is knowable and that God really wants to know us. He really wants to know you. He knows you more than you know yourself. It's not as if He doesn't know you, but He wants you to know Him as well. And He wants to have a real, authentic relationship with each one of us and with the people that He created. The question is, for this morning, is can I really know God? Can I really know Him? And I want to tell you today that the answer is absolutely, without a doubt, yes. You can know God. And I'm going to walk you through four steps this morning of how you can do that. First, I'm going to walk you through that God is real and He's knowable. That God is here. That God is known by faith. And that God is known by those who seek Him. There's a key verse I want to give to you. It's not in your notes, but it's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Read along with me, would you? And without faith, let me start again with me, would you? Come on now. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Those four points that I just mentioned are in this verse. That He's knowable and He's here is that we believe that He exists. Okay, we can know Him. And that we know Him by faith. Without faith, it's impossible. And that you can know Him if we earnestly seek Him. So it's all tied up in that one verse. So let's go first to step one. Can I really know God? Four steps. First step. Come to an understanding that God is real, is a real, knowable person. God is not some mystical, funny mist, like a myth or kind of a fog that kind of rolls in. Or He's not like the Force of Star Wars. He's just kind of there, but weird and kind of disconnected. Brother Lawrence, in his great book, The Practice of the Presence of God, writes this. We must know before we can love. In order to know God, we must often think of Him. And when we come to love Him, we shall then also think of Him often, for our heart will be with our treasure. God is a real, knowable person. How do we build our case for this? First of all, the Bible says that God made us in His image. So that if we are people, we look around and I don't see any aliens or strange characters. Well, there's a few strange characters, but no real extraterrestrial types in the room right now. We're people. We're male. We're female. We're tall. We're short. We're of different races and all. And it's beautiful what God has made. And God said He made us in His image. So it follows if we're people and are knowable, then God must be knowable. You didn't want to say person, did you? Is that the right answer? I don't think I want to say that. That's kind of weird. Well, He's not a person like we are flesh and blood. He's spirit, but He's personal. He's knowable. And God made us in His image. Well, you ask, well, what is God like? Well, what are we like? Somebody tell me, what do you really like? Something that you like. What is it? What's that? Ice cream. God loves to eat. So how is that possible? He's spirit. Well, when Jesus came to earth in flesh and blood, how many times do you see Him eating? Loads. You see Him eating more than He's in the synagogue. He was always at somebody's house for a meal. Now, I think it was more about fellowship than the food. But I'll tell you this. Has God made some good food? God likes food. You like to eat? God put that in us. Somebody else said something. What was it? Football? I think God would be the best football player ever. I do. I think when God would knock people on their tail, then He'd help them up. That God loves the challenges, and He put that in us. God loves animals. He made the creation. See, everything that we love, God put in there that gives us joy. That came from Him. And when our emotions, our feelings, our likes, our dislikes, that's all a part of God's nature. And one of the biggest things is the nature He put in us to know Him. That connectivity. Man, this week at Kids Camp, it was so much fun. Not only being with the kids, but being with our Abundant Life team. That was so much fun connecting with a lot of you that I hadn't had a chance to connect with before. And I realized God is real because I liked that so much. I liked connecting with you, and that's a God thing. God made us in His image. And we get a glimpse of God, even through the fog of our imperfections all the time when we see someone doing something really sacrificial or really kind, even if they don't know God. They're made in His image. So that which comes out of them is God's presence. He made them that way. God is not like us, but rather we are like Him. I want to tell you, God is not nearly as stuffy as some of us think He is. God, some of us think that God is a no fun, sit up on the mountain with His arms folded, and everything else that's below, that's fun, that we love, and all of that is just beneath Him. Anybody just love to laugh until your belly hurts? God loves to do that. I'm telling you. Why? Because we love it and He put that in us. Isn't it a great feeling? Now think about your spouse or something when you just give them that hug and you give them that kiss that just makes you tingle. Okay, I'm not going to talk about God smooching on people or anything. But God put that in us. God's nature is to be close and to be intimate and to be loving and to connect. And when someone is connecting with you, it feels so good. That's God. God is not weirded out by some of the things that we think He should be. As if we think God didn't invent sexuality or God didn't invent some of those beautiful things. God made that and He made us like that. He's not a stuffy God. I believe that that Jesus, when He was on the earth, I believe He was the life of the party. The reason I believe He was the life of the party, because the religious people didn't want to be around Him and the sinners did. You follow me, right? Now, I'm not saying He did anything sinful, but here's what I know. I hang around with a lot of people who don't know Jesus and they have some fun. Sometimes more fun than we do because we're nervous what somebody else might think. You follow me, right? We're really nervous. Can I do that? I'm not sure. I went to a thing last week. A pastor had a 60th birthday party and he brought a band to the church parking lot and they were playing some blues music and some 60s stuff. And I'm looking around watching the people and they're looking at each other and they're kind of moving a little bit. And I'm thinking, you so want to go right now. I know you do. But you're worried what somebody else is going to think. Do you know God loves to dance? The Bible says He dances with joy over us. When David worshipped, He danced with joy. God put that in us. He's not nearly as stuffy as we think He is. He is fun. We are like Him. We can know God with at least the same level of immediacy that we know any other person. Here's what I know. You can know God as much as you know your best friend. You can know God as much as you know your spouse or your children or your neighbors. Now, it's different, and we'll get to that in a point or two, but He is knowable. Say that with me. He is knowable. Psalm 38:4 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." John 10:27 says, "My sheep know My voice." Taste. That's metaphorical. Come find out if He's knowable. Come find out. God is knowable today. Our next step on this first point is this. Today, say it with me, would you? Today I understand. Wait, this is not right at all. Oh, okay. I got my notes a little bit messed up. Let's say what's on the screen. I believe that God is real and that I can know Him. That's step number one in can I know God. You first have to believe that He is real and knowable. Okay, simple, right? Okay, step number two. Step number two is this. Become aware that He's here. Become aware that He's here. Okay, this is important because this is a relational thing. A.W. Tozer wrote this in The Pursuit of God. He quotes Genesis 28:16 when he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." How many of us can relate to that? Surely the Lord was here, but I didn't know He was here. I didn't recognize that He was here. Going on with the quote, he's quoting Jacob. Jacob had never been for one small division of a moment outside the circle of the all-pervading presence. But he knew it not. That was his trouble, and it is ours. Men do not know that God is here. What a difference it would make if they knew. God is real and God is knowable. When is God real and when is God knowable? Right now. Right now. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When? Right now. My sheep know My voice. When? Right now. He's here. There's a word that we use in theology. It's called omnipresent, and you can figure that out. Omnipresent means everywhere present. That's God. That's one of His attributes. Here's what I know. Not one of you has ever, ever, ever been outside of God's presence. But did you realize you were in His presence? See, that's the thing, right? I mean, we go to work, we're playing, we're with our family, we're maybe struggling, maybe we're rejoicing, whatever it is. But do we know that we're in His presence? Sometimes we catch ourselves and we think, oh no, I think maybe God's watching. Well, yeah, He always is. Because you're in His presence, He's always here. Bullet point number one, God wants to be seen. He isn't avoiding you. He's here now in this place and everywhere you go. God wants to be seen. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. He's not playing hide-and-go-seek with you, diving under a bush every time you turn around. No, I thought I heard him. Oh, no, I guess not. I thought he was there. Oops, no, my bad. No, God is everywhere, and he wants you to see him. He says, seek me. When you seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Come find me, God is saying. I want to know you. God is everywhere, but let's not mistake, God isn't everything. That's pantheism. Pantheism says, you know, God is this stand. God is a tree. God is a cloud. That limits his deity. God is not everything, but he is everywhere. You follow? There's a difference. And it's important distant difference. 10 million people standing in different parts of the world, in different heights, depths, whatever, could all say at the same time with assurance, I'm in the presence of God. That's how big he is. He's everywhere present. An atheist astronaut flew up into space and he said, I've proven it. God does not exist because he's not here up in space. And a Christian said, if he just stepped out of his spacecraft, he'd have seen him real quick. God is here. God is present. He's knowable and he's right here. But a lot of us try to hide from God. Adam and Eve, when they sinned originally in the Garden of Eden, what was their first response to their sin? Hide and isolate. Get away from God. And that's really a lot of our problem. We might think that God is real and knowable. We might have an inkling that he's everywhere. But we're afraid to meet him because we know he's going to be mad. Can I just tell you, he's not mad. Does a mad God go to a cross for our sake? Does a mad God come out of heaven to earth and limit himself in a human flesh and die on a cross? Does a mad God do that? Or is that more the evidence of a desperate father wanting to reunite with his kids? Follow me? God's not mad at you. You don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to run and hide. Next bullet, nearness to God is not a locational issue, but a relational one. When we say, are you close or are you far? It's not talking about miles. As if God somehow has to, you know, get on his horse or get on a chariot or something and get to us quickly when we pray. No, God's already here. Far and close is a relational thing. It's not a distance thing. How many are old-time R&B fans? Anybody remember the Commodores? Remember the just to be close to you. Oh, come on, you knew it. Chrissy, Christians don't have any fun. The sinners would have jumped all over that song. They would have just rolled with it. It's not about distance. It's about relationship. When you say to someone, we used to be close, but we're not very close anymore. Does that mean you moved to, you know, France? No, it means your relationship has had some damage. Or it's just had some, you know, kind of just lost track. And you're not as close. God is here. Our closeness is not distance. Our closeness is heart. It's whether or not we're really connected with him. Have I realized that if I'm not close to God, it wasn't God that moved? God's always there, and he's always ready, and he's always eager, and he's always open. If we're not so close to God this morning, it's not that he moved. It's that we've created some kind of distance with God. Psalm 139 says, where shall I go from your presence? And the answer is, nowhere. There's nowhere to go. He's always going to be there. He's going to be in the deepest depths or the highest heights. And someone's saying right now, well, if he's here, then why doesn't he stop some of the bad things that happen? That's a very common question. You know, here's a very simple reason. Love demands that he does not. Love demands. Because if you need to love someone, you have to give them free will. If you give someone free will, then there's the opportunity to do bad things. But God thought the love was so important and so beautiful and so perfect that he even in his love allows people to do some really bad things. But one day, church, he's going to fix it all. He's coming back. We sang about it this morning. We sang that song, 10,000 Reasons. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ is going to come back and he will rectify everything. And there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more evil, no more abuse. None of that. And God will reign. We're coming. He's coming. It's going to come. The next step on this one. Say it with me. There we go. Say it with me. This week, I will start each day with awareness of his presence. I will live each day with my mind focused on him, and I will go to sleep each day thanking God for being with me. You start to cultivate that. Listen, do this even if you don't believe this morning. Okay, even if you don't believe, but you think, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. I don't know him, but maybe if that pastor's right, I'll give it a shot. Here's what I know. When you start to believe he's a real person and you start to believe that he's present, and you begin to practice the awareness, you're going to be surprised when you start to feel his presence. You're going to be surprised when you start to hear his voice. You're going to be surprised when you start to realize he is here. And I'm going to say, told you. And so will a lot of other people in the room this morning. Step number three, realize that God is known by faith. That God is known by faith. J.I. Packer says this, a God whom we could understand exhaustively and whose revelation of himself confronted us with no mysteries whatsoever would be a God in man's image, and therefore an imaginary God, not the God of the Bible at all. We believe the God by faith, and not everything about God is understandable. And we got to be okay with that. Because if we understand everything about God, then as Packer says, he's made in our image, not us made in his image. And so we're okay with not understanding everything, but that's where faith comes in. Faith is a powerful thing. Now, let me help you understand. Faith doesn't create something. Faith makes you aware of something already created. Faith doesn't make things exist. Faith opens your eyes to what already exists. So when you say God is knowable, God is here, and when you begin to understand how to live by faith, you'll start seeing things that you didn't see before. For all those that have followed Jesus for a while, as a result, have you seen things you didn't see before? All the time, right? All the time. I mean, even in the Bible. Before you know Jesus, you read the Bible and you go, dumb. Makes no sense. The Bible actually says that will happen. It does. In 2 Corinthians, it says, the Bible is foolishness to those who don't know him. So you read it and you go, who would read this? Retarded. I don't even look. It's a dumb book. But when you come to Jesus, you go, whoa, most awesome thing ever, because your eyes are open to things you didn't see before. And faith does that. The spiritual world is as real, rather more real than the physical world. How can I say more real? Because the Bible says in Hebrews that what was made out of nothing. That what was unseen was first, what is seen came next, and then eternity will follow. That this physical realm is temporary. There's coming a realm that is not temporary, but permanent. God gave us this place for a few thousand years, and we live here, and it's got some beauty, but it ain't nothing compared to where we're headed. This is temporary. The spiritual realm is really more real than this one, and it's limitless. Like you think of angels in the spirit realm and you read about heaven in the book of Revelation, you go, man, I can't even get my head around that. No, you can't. Because the Bible says no eye can perceive, no ear can hear, no mind can know what God has in store for us. We can't even understand some of the stuff he's got ready, but I can't wait to see it. And we're going to see it when we know God. Our habitual error is thinking that reality only exists in what we can discern with our five physical senses. Well, I can't see him, must not be real. Can't hear him, must not be real. Can't touch him, can't smell him, can't taste him, must not be real. Well, I have never seen my brain with any of my five senses. Ew, somebody say that over here. I've never seen that, but I kind of like to hope that it's real. And we get it, right? I'm being silly. But we believe a lot of things we haven't experienced with our five senses. Historical things, distant things, even universal things. And we recognize We recognize that order and we believe that when it comes to God. No, can't be real. Well, that's where faith comes in. And our habitual error is to think that He's limited to our senses. Remember, we were made in His image. He created us. Oh, He's way beyond our senses. Much, much further beyond. A person must learn to live otherworldly. And I'm not talking about weird. Get this now. When you start to live and understand God, I know a lot of people get weird, but you don't have to. Okay? The weirdness is on them. That you actually become more of everything God designed you to be. Not weirder. So if God designed us to be fully loving, wouldn't it be great if everybody on the planet became fully loving like God? And everybody was fully joyful, and everybody was fully peaceful, and fully good, and fully kind. And our kids camp students are saying, I know those. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, good job, guys. That God designed us that way. And we're to fully be all that He designed us to be. Not become some religious strange thing. That we become fully us. And when we come to heaven someday, we'll be glorified even more so. And this is all walked through by faith. The book of Hebrews says this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we can't see. That's otherworldly. I am absolutely certain. You can't convince me otherwise. I will die with this truth in my mouth, speaking it, that the God who I've never seen is real. Because I'm certain of what I hope for. I'm sure of what I can't see. And I've learned that when I was 15 and took the step of faith to say, God, if you're knowable, if you're here, if you're really not mad at me, I'm going to take the step of faith. And that's why we call our Christian life a journey. That all of us are at different places of realizing who He is. I've been on that journey now for 43 years. I'm a little bit further along the road than some of you. Some of you are a little bit further down the road than me. And we all are understanding God as we journey in that faith walk to start to in learning what it means to live otherworldly. That's why we can pray. And God does things that we don't understand. This week, Pastor Sean had a check on his knee. And the doctor said, your knee's got some brokenness to it. And you're going to need surgery and so on. But we'll send you to another scan. 3 days later, he had another scan. The doctor said, I'm not sure what this is, but the brokenness has pretty much healed. And he said, I really can't understand what's going on. He says, I understand what's going on. There's an otherworldly God who does things outside of our senses that we can't explain, but we believe it by faith and we know it's true. Amen? That's God. And when you take that step of faith and say, God, I may not know everything, and that's okay, but I'm going to start taking the steps to believe in you. Our next step on this one, say it with me. I am willing to take the step of faith and believe in God, even though I don't see Him. I'll explain that in a little bit more fully. And last, I want to get to this. Step 4. I can only know God if I seek Him. And this kind of connects with number 3. You can say I have faith, but if you never seek Him, you really don't have faith. Okay, that's belief. Now, there's a difference between belief and faith. The Bible says that the demons believe in God, but they don't have faith in God. They believe and they go, oh no, they shudder. They don't want anything to do with God. They're demons. But those of us who believe and have faith, that means we take the step to seek. And the Bible says that you will find Him when you seek Him with all of your heart. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, while it is good that we seek to know the Holy One, it is probably not so good to presume that we will ever complete the task. So seeking is going to be from now until you die. Because there's always some new thing to know about God. That's the beauty about God. Every day there can be a new surprise. And I think personally, that's what's going to be so great about heaven. Because we'll have every single day of eternity waking up. Well, it's no night. But entering God's presence and go, whoa, never saw that before. Whoa, that's cool. Wow, look at that. Every day. Because God will have a continual supply of us knowing Him. We'll never go to God and go, I've been there, done that. Never. God is that big. And he's that vast. And that's the beauty of what heaven will be. The difference between people who see God and those who don't see God is in the seeking. If you want to see God, you'll see him. If you want to hear from God, you'll hear from him. If you want to know him, you'll know him. Because he wants to be known more than you want to know him. He wants to be heard more than you want to hear him. And he wants to be seen more than you want to see him. That's our God, and that's the God who loves us. Knowing God does not come at a push of a button, but by a determined heart. That first verse in Hebrews, those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly means you forgot, you can't find your car keys, and you need to go now. Does that describe earnestness to you? Okay, maybe a little bit more. So when my kids were little, there's been a couple of occasions when we lost sight of them in a crowd. That's the feeling I had. That's earnest. That's earnest. I got to find them now, and I don't care who's in my way. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what kind of nutcase I look like. I'm finding my kid. You get it, right, parents? Earnestness. Do we have that kind of earnestness seeking God? When we earnestly seek him, when we want to see him desperately. He's not a quick fix. He's God. And God will not deny anyone who diligently seeks him. There will be a delighted surprise for those who seek God, and you'll discover his presence. I did, and I have been. And it's still beautiful how each day there's more and more of God that I see. Every day. We can boil this down into four steps to seeking God. Number one, refocus your awareness to his presence moment by moment. That's the he's here and he's knowable part. If you really want to seek him, refocus your awareness. God is here. Okay. I don't see him. But I'm going to, by faith, say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you're here, even though I don't really know how to do this. But okay, you're here. Let's just say you are. Number two, I'm going to talk to the Lord daily, continually, and actually kind of listen to him. I've practiced this. I'm telling you, God will speak to you when you develop a listening ear. God, I don't see you. I feel kind of weird. If anybody walked in on me right now, they'd think I'm a nut. But I'm going to go ahead and talk to you. And you start to talk to him like you would talk to your best friend. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will start to fill your heart. God will come and you'll start feeling things. You'll start being aware of things that you didn't see before. Because by faith you're saying, I don't get all this, but I'm going to take the step. And you start to walk in it, and God will respond. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He will come. Number three, read and obey the Bible to train yourself to submit to God. Well, what do I do next? I don't know what to do. Well, that's where the Bible comes in. The Bible is somebody said, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the Bible. And as you get the instructions. Now, it's not the easiest book to understand right out of the gate. That's why we have church. To help us understand the Bible. And small groups to understand the Bible. And youth group and kids ministries to help us all understand. Because some of us have been down the journey a little farther than you. And we've learned some things that you don't yet know. So that's why we get together. And that's where we learn. And that's why this year we're doing Bible First Lifestyle. So we can learn the instructions. So we know what we're supposed to do. And then the next is where the church comes in. And it's partially about understanding the Bible. But it's also partially about learning from each other. Developing friendships with each other. Growing from each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So somebody will encourage you. Will build you up. And you'll get better because of a relationship with somebody else. So four simple steps. Let me recap them. Same with me. Refocus your awareness to his presence moment by moment. You're here. Two, talk to the Lord daily, continually, to develop a listening ear. It's weird, but I'm going to do it. Even if you don't say words, you can kind of think prayer. Because God is even in your head. He knows what you're thinking. Next one, read and obey the Bible to train yourself to submit to God. And if you don't understand it all, that's okay. That's what the groups are for and what Sunday morning is for. And number four, fellowship with the church and learn the practicality of his presence. Can you know God you can. That's the four basics. Basic stuff, 101. Okay, is there a lot more? Yes. But if we don't get this, we don't get anything. We start right here. And maybe you're a believer this morning and you've lost track of these four. You started living your life and maybe you drifted a little distant. Maybe you haven't been talking to God a lot. Maybe you've lost connection with the fellowship. Let's get it back in order and have that closeness with God return. An overall understanding here that you might want to just pray over in your head is that I understand I must seek God and therefore realize that He is seeking me. I understand that I must talk to Him in prayer and read His Word and obey it and fellowship and grow with His family and share this with others. Take those steps and you're going to find yourself seeing things, knowing things you never knew before. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. We'll be done. I've written a prayer. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I've written a prayer, though, in your program. In a minute, you can open your eyes and read that along with me. But with your eyes closed, I just want you to, I ask you to close your eyes just to block out distractions. Other people might be moving around or anything. Your eyes closed, it helps you just to focus a little bit. Ask yourself honestly, do I really want to know Him? Because truthfully, if you don't want to know Him, you won't seek Him. You won't. I found this, the things I really want, I'll do. The things I really want, I'll make time for. I procrastinate about the things I really don't want or I don't want to do. Guys, we're talking about God here. Not Warren Buffett or the Walton family or Tiger Woods or Steph Curry. We're talking about God. And God loves you so desperately that He gave His life on a cross. He's not mad at you. He's not ashamed of you. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you. At the sound of your name, He dances with joy. With singing, the Bible says. I want to know a God like that. And for me, 43 years in, I want to keep knowing Him and keep growing and keep learning more. But maybe you're at the very first steps. Do you really want to know Him? You can. He's knowable. He's here. You know Him by faith. And your faith is put into action by seeking. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or even raise your hand or anything like that. But with your heads bowed, but maybe you can grab your program and read this prayer along with me. It's a simple prayer and it's the first step. You can say it quietly if you want to, or even silently in your head if you want to. Or if you're bold, you want to say it out loud, that's fine too. Well, I'll read it out loud and just read it together. Father, I want to know You. I admit I have had a preoccupation with visible things. You have been here all along, but I didn't know it. I've been blind to Your presence. Open my eyes that I may see You in and around me. Help me to seek You moment by moment for Your glory. Father, I pray that You will just press in these ideas from Your Word into every person. That God, whether someone walked in today and didn't know You at all, or someone walked in and they've started a little to know You, or the one that's known You for years, that each one of us can reaffirm this hunger for You, a passion for You, and a desire for You. Help us, Lord, to press in strong, because You can be known and You want to be known. And I praise You that You're a God like that. We love You, Lord Jesus, because You first loved us. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Sean.